So the Holy One says to Noah, Aseh lecha teva, make for yourself an ark. And why was the ark needed? It's because creation had gone awry. The world was supposed to be a garden, and now it was filled with violence and assault and murder. And the Holy One couldn't bear to see it, couldn't bear to see how badly things had gone wrong. The first experiment in AI was a failure. And so the Holy One decided to wipe it out, start over again, begin anew, all except for Noah. Why Noah? Why was he spared? Well, the Torah tells us that he was each tzaddik tamim haya b'dorotav. He was a righteous and a blameless person in his generation. But the rabbis of the Midrash almost immediately jump in, and what they say is, but there were other righteous people, other blameless people, equally as good as he in his generation. It can't be from that. Why did they not survive? That can't be the reason that Noah was saved. And so the Midrash says it must be about the latter half of that verse, the peace to come, in which it says, Et Elokim hitalech Noach, that Noach walked with God. Interestingly, the rabbis don't interpret this as a statement about Noach's religiosity or his piety, but rather if such a thing was possible, almost literally, that he and God would walk together, would travel together, and through it, they developed love for one another. Why Noach? Because God couldn't bear to be without him. That's why Noach. And so the Torah says, Bo atah uvitecha leteva, you and your family go to the ark. Get in. And all of the animals streamed in, and the rain sheeted down from above, and the great seals of the deep burst open, and the waters rose, and the world was undone. Rashi says about that word, undone, emche, to erase, that what it meant in this context was to dissolve. God dissolved creation. There's a question that we have to ask, and it's an important one, and I'll explain why in a second. And that question is, was what the Holy One did in flooding the world just? Should we not think it justice? Look, there was violence, and God undid it. There was injustice, and the Holy One wiped it away. Is that not what we ask for? And the reason we have to ask this question is because every few years, somebody rediscovers flood-based solutions. And the way that it happens is they look at the world and they say, the world is so broken, so far from repair, we just have to start over again. And I know that we mean so well, however it is that we will do it will be better. Let's begin again. And if there's any sympathy that I have for this way of thinking, it comes from the realization that there are moments in which it feels like the world maybe should be undone, unmade. 2 weeks ago, Saturday, was one of those moments. Gunmen walked into villages and kibbutzim, and they did things to civilians and to the elderly and children that I can't talk about because there are children in the room. Does it not feel that such people deserve to be unmade? That the world that created them deserves to be uncreated? Does that not feel right on the inside? Should we not ascribe greatness to the Holy One who brought the flood? The only thing I can say is that Noach never does. Not once. Noach, who saw it all, was there for the whole thing, even after building an altar, never says, yeah, its cost was high, but it was totally worth it. Yashir koach Hashem. Noach never justifies the losses of the flood. Instead, he does something so telling. So telling. What you have to know is that Noach was a farmer. He was an Isha Adama. Which first means that the ark must have leaked like a sieve. Why would you ask a farmer to build a boat? Anyways, the farmer gets out after 12 months on this ark, and he kneels into the ground, and he scoops out wet dirt and makes a hole, and in it he plants a grapevine. ultimately a vineyard, as if to say, God, you were the creator. You were once a farmer. You were once a gardener. And now you are the uncreator. You are the floodbringer. And me, as for myself, I can't stand there with you. I have to plant. It seems like solutions for what's wrong with the world can be divided up between the floodbringers and the planters. And Noach knows that everything will go awry and will be unpredictable when he planted that vine into the ground, and he did it anyways. And I'm just going to tell you right now that I am on Team Noach. Unless you think that what I'm talking about is Pollyanna-ish or Kumbaya-ish or naive, the thing that I want to tell you that every planter knows is that planting is an act of bravery and difficulty. Because the minute you put that shoot, that sapling, that vine into the ground, something else is going to come and try to along and eat it. You have to fight for what you plant. You have to defend what you plant. You have to care about what you plant. It's risky to plant. Planting is courageous. You know, I'll give you an example from what's happening right now. I only knew Women Wage Peace Organization in Israel-Palestine slightly before the Hamas attacked, but its founder, Vivian Silver, was kidnapped. She's one of the captives in Gaza. Now, whereabouts unknown. Maybe she'd be brought back to us this minute, this instant. And it took those Israeli and Palestinian women a week to write a statement from Women Wage Peace. Now, I'm a person who strings words together for a living. And so I know a triumph of the heart and spirit when I see one. And this was one of them. It was brave, and it was strong, and it was hopeful in a moment where hope is almost nowhere to be found. It's amazing what Women Wage Peace wrote. And social media jumped down their throats almost instantaneously. Not right or left, right and left. Not Israeli or Palestinian, Israeli and Palestinian. Everybody hated it because it was an attempt to plant something, and flood making is so much easier. It feels so much better. Anger and rage feel so good. And someone who's trying to plant something that's unpredictable and not ideologically poor, everybody hated them. That's what planting's like. Listen, I'll tell you what my major takeaway is from these past 2 weeks. Even in the midst of my shock, even in the midst of my understanding, what I've come away with is this understanding that there are people in this world who are so good at diagnosing the world's ills with justice, with truth, so good at the diagnosis, and so terrible at proposing a cure. If there is a disease that ails us, it's the disease of separating ideology from humanity. And when you do that, you get travesty. People who are saying that the cost of revolution and safety and resistance are bodies, and saying it without seemingly a qualm in their heart. What is going on? I can't stand with them. I'm with the planters. As imperfect as their solutions may be, I would much rather be with them. What does planting look like? Well, you know that they're trying to rebuild some of those kibbutzim in the south. That's planting. And 200-some people who are captives, there are people who are going into Gaza right now at the danger of their own lives to get them back, and that's planting. And that there are children and civilians in Gaza, and there are people trying to get aid to them despite the bomb strikes, and that's planting. And then there are Women Wage Peace who will make statements of hope when everyone is shouting them down, and that's planting. Those are the people who I choose to be with. Between the flood makers and the planters, I know where I stand. We live here in America, and when war breaks out in our home between Israelis and Palestinians who both live there, it can be both a strange combination of fear-inducing and rage-inducing and utterly disempowering. And so I think we scream at each other on social media. How much time have you spent explaining to other people exactly why they're wrong, compared to how much time have you spent supporting those people who are trying to find something right? I know what the numbers are for me, but that's going to change. One of the things I want to tell you is that in the midst of disempowerment, if you don't know what to do, go support a planter. And if you have trouble finding one, just find the guy or the woman that both left and right are attacking, because you've probably found the planter. Everybody hates that person. We deserve a future. Israelis and Palestinians deserve a future. The world deserves a future. And the flood makers bring no future. I'm on Team Noah.